This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And it's official. A girl who grew up in Metairie is now a Supreme Court judge. How about that? Did you ever think you would see the day where someone who grew up in New Orleans or Metairie or the West Bank or DeParish would be a Supreme Court judge? Amy Coney Barrett, she starts work today. I mean, she's going to work today. She's a Supreme Court judge. And they say her first big gig will be historic. Her first big gig will be this election, the Donald Trump, Joe Biden election, because they figure, even though we're 1 week away from it, we're 1 week away from Election Day 2020, that this election somehow or another, because of mail-in voting, because of whatever, will go to the Supreme Court. This will be just like the George W. Bush, Al Gore presidential election that ended up in the Supreme Court. And that they're saying, experts are saying that this election, this presidential election next week, 1 week from today's presidential election, will end up in the Supreme Court. And it'll be the first thing that Metairie's. She grew up in Metairie, Amy Coney Barrett. We have a Supreme Court judge who grew up in Metairie. I mean, can you believe that? She was sworn onto the Supreme Court by Supreme Court Judge Clarence Thomas last night at the White House in a ceremony there. And you know, for a lot of people, Coleman, it doesn't matter who wins the presidential election 1 week from today. Donald Trump and his supporters, they already won. She's the third Supreme Court justice nominated and approved to the Supreme Court by Donald Trump. And whether it's Gorsuch, whether it's Kavanaugh, or now, whether it's Barrett, those three are going to be on the Supreme Court for the next, what, 25 years?
Yeah, but then the conspiracy theorists are like, if Biden wins, he's going to pack the court. Or he's going to attempt to pack the court. Even though it's been 9 judges historically, they're saying they're going to take measures to try to add more judges to the court to kind of balance out the conservative to liberal ratio.
But, I mean, you just said, historically, mm-hmm. there's been 9 Supreme Court justices, because that's all we need, because it has to be an odd number.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be an even number, because they can't. It has to be an odd number, because if it's an even number, you would have Supreme Court justices. You might have them tie. You might if let's say there's 10 Supreme Court justices, let's say there's 8 Supreme Court justices, then in important cases, because we all know the Supreme Court, it's the most important, it's the It's the last stop on the legal train here in the United States of America. And if there were 8 or 10 Supreme Court justices, what if these are the most important cases in our country? What if they would end up 4-4? 4 on one side, 4 on the other side. What if they would end up 5-5? 5 on one side, 5 on the other side. This is why there has to be an odd number of Supreme Court judges. That's why there are 9. And there can't be any more than 9. There can't be 11 or 13. So the conspiracy theorists are saying the Democrats are going to do that. That's called packing the Supreme Court by adding more judges mm-hmm. than we've historically had. And I don't see our country accepting that.
I mean, just because they don't accept it don't mean they won't give it a shot. I mean, we're in this weird era where politics has become tribalism. They just want their side to win no matter what. It doesn't matter what the Constitution says. It doesn't matter what precedent it is. We're all going to fight for our team to win. And that's why the experts are predicting there is going to be some sort of contest. To no matter who wins the election, somebody's going to contest it, just because each side feels like if the other side wins, we have to try to fight to get that person removed and have our guy in. So no matter who wins, yes, it's going to get contested, because nobody's going to concede. Nobody's going to say, well, all right, it was a fair election. Okay, we'll let you. Nobody's going to take the loss.
All right, look, the election is one thing 7 mm-hmm. days from now. The Supreme Court, packing the Supreme Court, I don't see them doing that, because they only really went after one of Trump's 3 nominees, and they try to make his life hell and ruin his life, and that mm-hmm. was Brett Kavanaugh, and he survived that. With Neil Gorsuch, they didn't do very much. With Amy Coney Barrett, they didn't do very much.
They couldn't do anything with Amy
Coney Barrett because she's a woman.
Well, no, they tried. They were saying her Catholicism is going to get in the way of her court rulings. They kept badgering her about her religious thing.
They just said that they didn't do anything to stop her from becoming a Supreme Court judge like they did with Brett Kavanaugh. They didn't do anything to stop Neil Gorsuch like they did with Brett Kavanaugh. It seemed like Kavanaugh was the one guy that they all got, Alyssa Milano and all the Democrats got behind and said, let's make up stuff from his childhood. Let's try to... I mean, that's all they had. They didn't have anything from his recent history as a judge. They only tried to make things up about his childhood, saying he was bad when he was in high school. He was bad when he was in college. And they brought out people that couldn't really remember anything, that couldn't, but they didn't go after Amy Coney Barrett. They couldn't, because she's a woman. They couldn't pick on her because she's a woman. And before Brett Kavanaugh, on Trump's first go around, they couldn't go after him. They had nothing. There was nothing there. Just like there was nothing there with Brett Kavanaugh, but they made stuff up. That's what I mean. No matter what happens 1 week from today on Election Day, the people that voted for Donald Trump, even if they held their breath, and they're like, look, this is a big mouth New Yorker who many times acts like a child. They liked his politics. They liked the fact and the fact that he just appointed 3 Supreme Court justices who are going to be set there for the next 25 or 30 years. They won. That's why they voted for Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton 4 years ago. The judges. And it wasn't just the 3 Supreme Court judges, Coleman. He got around 30 federal judges appointed on top of the 3 Supreme Court justices. So no matter what happens 1 week from today, the people that might not have liked Donald Trump personally, they got what they wanted with the judges in this country. So I can't imagine changing the amount, the number of Supreme Court judges just to get more people on that side of the political aisle.
I don't think it's going to happen, but somebody's going to float the idea out
there. They
may
try, but yeah. I can't imagine. We have 9 Supreme Court judges.
Mm-hmm.
That's how many Supreme Court judges we've had for many, many, many years. I can't imagine just picking 3 more Democrats or what? 2 more Democrats or 4 more Democrats just to put more Democrats on the Supreme Court?
It probably won't happen, but I think they'll give it a shot. So, yeah.
A girl who grew up in Metairie is a Supreme Court judge. We've never had any Supreme Court judges from around here. A girl from Metairie is on the United States Supreme Court. So, anyways, last night, Amy Coney Barrett sworn onto the Supreme Court at a ceremony at the White House by Clarence Thomas. How about that? A girl from Metairie is on the United States Supreme Court. Did you ever in your life think you'd see anyone from around here, a Supreme Court judge?
No, I haven't.
Wow! All right. Coming up on the show, tomorrow night, we're supposed to get hit with another hurricane. Hurricane Zeta, because this is the 7th time in 2020, in the last few months, the 7th time New Orleans in southeast Louisiana has been in the cone of uncertainty. This is the 5th time that people are doing all kinds of stuff to prepare for a hurricane hitting our area. I mean, just like, did you ever think you'd see a girl from Metairie be a Supreme Court judge? Did you ever think you would see New Orleans and our surrounding area in a cone of uncertainty for the 7th time in the same few months? I never thought we'd see that either. There's a couple of things we never thought we'd see, but how about that? Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And this morning is the first time in American history that if you're waking up here in the New Orleans metropolitan region, there's a woman who grew up in Metairie who is now a Supreme Court judge. I mean, she was a little girl growing up in Metairie not that long ago. Amy Coney Barrett And this morning, she's one of the nine justices on the United States Supreme Court. Coleman, that's incredible. A girl who grew up in Metairie is a Supreme Court judge. I've always been fascinated with the United States Supreme Court because obviously it's the highest court in the land. When we've talked about it before on the show, I've always used the analogy. It's the last train, it's the last bus on the United States legal system, on the United States. It doesn't get any bigger or more important than the United States Supreme Court. They're so big that they don't even rule on 99% of the cases that come before them. They only have time to deal with not even 1%, about 1% of the cases that come before them. And here we have this morning, as we sit here, a woman who grew up in Metairie. She's from here. And she's a United States Supreme Court justice. Congratulations to Amy Coney Barrett. And if you're just joining us, our show starts at 5:30. It started about a half an hour ago. And Coleman thinks now that the other political side will try to pack the United States Supreme Court, meaning add Supreme Court justices.
That's if Joe Biden wins the election, because there have been talks about that. Well, it's mostly conspiracy theorists say that if Biden wins, he's going to try to pack the Supreme Court. Therefore, he can have more liberal judges than conservative judges. And, of course, it's probably a long shot that that's actually going to happen in real life. But the idea will be floated around even to his constituents if Biden wins.
So let me get this straight. Now we know there are nine United States Supreme Court justices, and there have been historically for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And there has to be an odd number, because you can't have an even number, because if you can't have a tie when it gets to the United States Supreme Court. So there has to be an odd number. So you're saying that 1 week from today on Election Day, if Joe Biden beats Donald Trump, that then they will try to add, what, two Supreme Court judges?
Whichever ones overlaps the conservatives. But the reason it might not make sense is because...
So that would have to be because Donald Trump just got his third Supreme Court justice. He's named Neil Gorsuch. He's named Brett Kavanaugh. And now he's named, or should I say appointed? He's appointed Neil Gorsuch. He's appointed Brett Kavanaugh. And now he's appointed Metairie's Amy Coney Barrett. So now, if you look at it, from the naked eye, it tells you that there are six conservatives, or at least six justices, Supreme Court justices, who have been appointed by a conservative president. And there are now only three that have been appointed by a liberal president.
Right.
So that would be 6-3. So he would have to, Joe Biden would have to, two wouldn't do the job. He would have to appoint, he would have to add five more Supreme Court justices after he becomes president, if he wins 1 week from today.
Right. And the only reason he wouldn't is because it sets precedent that next time there's a conservative president,
they would do the same thing.
Right, because FDR tried it in 1937, but it didn't fly because, first of all, FDR, he only did it as a threat. He's saying, I forget what the situation was at the time, but he threatened to pack the Supreme Court if he didn't get his way at the time. And he even pushed a bill called the Judicial Reform Bill in 1937, but it was rejected. It was just a veiled threat. But the idea is still out there that whenever a president is in a pinch, he can just pack the court, because there's no constitutional president to stop him. You could, like, a president can do it if it's all confirmed. There's nothing stopping it. It's just nobody has actually went through with it.
Slow down here. You made a reference to FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Mm-hmm. You do realize if he was still alive, he'd still be president.
Yeah. Yes, he would.
Because he died during his fourth term.
Right.
His fourth term. So he wanted to be president forever, and then he wanted to pack the Supreme Court. Boy, if you talk about you talk about someone that sounds like a dictator.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what it was. I think that was back in his third term. He was like, look, if you don't let me run for this other term, then I'm just going to pack the Supreme Court either way. That way, if I am termed out, then I still have the majority Supreme Court justices that are ruling in our favor, meaning his party's favor. So that's when that's the first time there was a veiled threat. That was back in 1937. But the idea has always been out there, and it looks like the conspiracy theorists say, I'm not saying it, that if Biden wins, he may have to try to attempt to pack the court just to appease his constituents, who doesn't like the fact that the Supreme Court now is majority conservative.
And as I mentioned earlier this morning, if you're just joining us, you know, the people that might not have liked Donald Trump's personality, you know, a big mouth New York guy, a lot of times he acts like a child, but they liked his politics. They just got what they voted for when Donald Trump just appointed his Supreme Court justices. The people who voted for Donald Trump and might not have liked them personally, they just got what they wanted. And even if Biden beats Trump 1 week from today on Election Day, they still won. The people that voted for him, they got what they wanted in this particular case with the Supreme Court justices.
Yeah.
And he also appointed a bunch of other judges all over the country. Look, that's that. And I'm still giddy because put politics aside, a girl who grew up in Metairie is a Supreme Court judge right now. Right now.
And they already giving a crap on Twitter for not wearing a mask for her confirmation. They had Trump and Clarence Thomas, and, you know, she was getting sworn in, and like, none of them are wearing a mask. It's like, dude, let history happen just for a little while.
You know, that's
Twitter's crazy.
That's some picture.
Mm-hmm.
With Clarence Thomas, a black guy,
mm-hmm.
swearing in Amy Coney Barrett, a woman, a female, from Metairie.
Right.
She grew up in Metairie.
With the quote-unquote most racist and sexist president right there sitting in between them. You know
how about
I mean?
That, huh?
Right.
That's some picture.
That president is so racist. He's so sexist. He hates women. He hates blacks. But here he is with a black Supreme Court justice swearing in a female Supreme Court justice from Metairie.
Mind is blown this morning. Yeah, I mean, I can't believe a girl who grew up in Metairie is now a Supreme Court justice.
And she's young and she has that gig for life. She's set for life, pretty much.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm older than her. Yeah, we're around the same age.
Well, Clarence Thomas now is the longest sitting Supreme Court justice, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, there's no one that's been on there longer than her, or longer than him.
Yeah.
And how about that? Reach for comment. Joe Biden, who's very busy running for president, said, boy, that's something how Sandra Day O'Connor is now a Supreme Court justice. That's what Joe Biden just said. So, wow. But I will forever be blown away, at least for the near future, that a girl who grew up in Metairie is a Supreme Court justice. Wow. I mean, you could text us if you want. It just happened last night, and we have other things we're going to get to on the show. But if you want to text us about that, 504-260-9595. Are you blown away like me that someone, a girl who grew up in Metairie, is now a United States Supreme Court justice? She is right now. It's official. Text us and keep it short and sweet, and please don't text while you're driving. And if it adds to our show, we will read it coming up. Our text line is 504-260-9595. 95.5. We have a bunch of other stuff we want to get to on the show this morning, including the latest on another storm, another hurricane. This is the seventh time in the last few months we've been in the cone of uncertainty here in New Orleans. When it comes to a major storm, this is a hurricane now, Zeta. This hurricane season is so long, we've already gone through the alphabet one time when it came to names. Now we're at the very end of the alphabet with the Greek alphabet. And I think what's next? Because this is Zeta, it's the very end of the Greek alphabet. If we go back to the top, what are we going to, the Polish alphabet?
I think Egyptian hieroglyphics.
Is that where we're going?
Maybe.
So we have a lot to get to on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. According to the Census Bureau, there is a growing Kurdish community in Wisconsin. They are known as cheese curds. On Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. So this past Saturday night in Greenwood, Mississippi, there was a funeral. And then after the funeral, like a lot of times, there's I don't want to call it a party, a post-funeral party, but it was a gathering. A post-funeral gathering. Well, at that post-funeral gathering this past Saturday night in Greenwood, Mississippi, 10 people got shot. Two of them fatally. Come to find out, the two people who died, they came down from Chicago because it was their grandmother's funeral. So we hear about people getting shot in Chicago all the time. So these two people, a brother and a sister in their 40s, came down to Greenwood, Mississippi from Chicago because their grandmother died. And after the funeral, there was a get-together, a gathering, and they got shot and killed, and 8 other people were shot. 10 people were shot at a post-funeral gathering this past weekend in Mississippi, and the two who died were from Chicago.
Well, I have a theory. I think the people that were upset and went and shot up the funeral were upset because you're not supposed to have a funeral with the current COVID guidelines. So they were gathering in a large crowd. They probably wouldn't wear their masks, and I'm assuming that the gunmen were upset about that, so they came in with guns blazing.
It doesn't say anything about that, Coleman.
Oh, I'm just trying to figure out a motive. You know how we try to put ourselves in a position.
We always try, but the story I'm reading and the police report I'm reading, all it says is it was a post-funeral gathering in Mississippi. 10 people were shot, 2 of them fatally, and those two happened to be from Chicago. I'm thinking they're just bringing their Chicago weekend whatever down to Mississippi, and you don't see that very often. In a headline, 10 shot, 2 fatally at a post-funeral gathering in Mississippi. Other than that, I heard it was the funeral was all right, and the post-funeral gathering, outside of the 10 people who got shot, was.
They don't second line in Mississippi, though. That's the only downfall of the funeral.
Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us 3 times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Yeah, our emergency alerts are going off on our cell phones right now. And we're talking about tomorrow night is when Hurricane Zeta is supposed to make landfall here in Louisiana. And it's the that's the latest. I mean, a lot could happen between now and then. We don't know exactly where, but it's looking like New Orleans is going to be affected. And so, again, a lot could happen between now and tomorrow night when Hurricane Zeta is supposed to hit. And this is the seventh time this hurricane season that we are in the cone of uncertainty. For the most part, the New Orleans area has gotten lucky this year, and we haven't gotten smacked. We haven't gotten hit. But this one, Hurricane Zeta, again, it's supposed to be a Category 1 when it does make landfall at some point tomorrow night, Wednesday night. And we'll see. That's all you know. You know what to do by now. This isn't our first rodeo or hurricane.
I still have hurricane rashes from Laura that I haven't even gotten to yet.
Well, around New Orleans, Coleman, we've been fortunate. We've gotten lucky. We'll see what happens with this one. And again, I mean, think about how many storms we've had this year that have been named. We've already gone through the alphabet. Now we're in the Greek alphabet, and we're at the end of that. We're Hurricane Zeta, Z.
Actually, a texter says, and this is true, Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. So we're not at Omega yet. We're kind of in the middle.
Oh, okay. So we're not going to be at the end of the Greek alphabet and then having to move to another alphabet, the Polish alphabet or the Czechoslovakian alphabet.
If we get the Omega, if we get the Hurricane Omega, then we have to try another alphabet, a hieroglyphic, or maybe some Chinese symbolism. We'll figure it out.
So this is just Hurricane Zeta. So, again, it's tomorrow night. That's what they're saying. And I'll say it one more time. A lot can happen between now and then with where this thing could go. But, boy, oh, boy, if 2020 hasn't sucked enough as a year, the seventh time we have been in the cone of uncertainty here in southern Louisiana.
And then we still have an asteroid to look out for.
Well, the asteroid's not supposed to come until Monday, the day before the election.
Mm-hmm.
So we're 6 days. Scientist Neil deGrasse Tyson and others have said, watch out, keep your eyes up in the sky on Monday. So we're still 6 days away from that, from an asteroid. Space junk may be hitting us. And as I mentioned yesterday on the show, some people were wondering, what do we do? How do we know if an asteroid is gonna hit around us? The experts say just keep staring up at the sky next Monday, and if you see anything heading your way, just get out the way, just look out. So this weekend, Halloween is this coming Saturday. That's in between this latest hurricane and the asteroid maybe falling to the ground here the day before Election Day on Monday. So Saturday, maybe we have a little bit of time to enjoy Halloween, although here in New Orleans, bars are not allowed to fully reopen, and if they serve food, start serving food, and if to sit at a bar here in New Orleans on Halloween night, that's still a no-go, according to our tax sheet of Amerit La Taxa Cantrell. With our, we're sitting in reopening the economy and reopening things during coronavirus. That's here in New Orleans. But for the rest of the state, our Republican-led House of Representatives, they are trying to get the rest of all of Louisiana, they're trying to get it open more, free from the coronavirus rules, the restrictions, And again, the Louisiana House of Representatives have been trying to do that. Well, yesterday, our governor, John Taco Bell Edwards, he is now suing that state legislature. He wants to defend his coronavirus rules. Did you see that? Governor John Taco Bell Edwards is suing the Louisiana House of Representatives to defend the coronavirus rules they are attempting to throw out. A judge will ultimately decide whether Louisianians have to continue following the mitigation measures that Taco Bell Edwards has implemented through an executive order. On the final day of the fall special session, lawmakers sent a petition to Governor Edwards instructing him to sign a new executive order that lifts all COVID-19 restrictions for a week. The law that allows the legislature to do this also says the governor has to comply. So when Governor Taco Bell Edwards got that, Coleman, he said, oh, no, I put these coronavirus rules in place for a reason. And so now he is suing the governor, the Democratic governor in a mostly red Republican state. He's battling now legally with the state legislature, and he is suing them to defend his coronavirus rules.
So John Taco Bell Edwards said that he put these coronavirus guidelines in place for a reason. Now, one would assume he means the reason is health, you know, public safety. But when you look at the stats, when you realize that everyone has like a 99% recovery rating, when you see that a lot of mainstream celebrities like The Rock and his family and Sean Payton and Tom Hanks and Donald Trump recently all got coronavirus and they were okay. You see how many football teams have gotten the coronavirus and they seem to be okay. It makes you wonder, what is the health risk that we're so concerned about? Because we haven't even used all of the ventilators. We haven't even used all of the makeshift hospital beds. We haven't gone to the extreme that we thought we were going to go to back in the earlier of the year when we were in lockdown. It has not been as bad as projected. So it makes me wonder, what are we still abiding by most of these guidelines for? Like, some of them, I get it. If you want to social distance, if you want to wear a mask, I'm cool with that, but if we're going to do that, why not just open everything? What's the economic part of it? Why the 25% capacity? Why 50% capacity? Why not just have it at 100% and then let everybody wear masks and social distance? Look, that would seem to be the logical thing to do.
I'm with you, Coleman, especially, I mean, here in New Orleans, where we're a little bit behind in reopening the economy than the rest of the state. I mean, we have 64 parishes here.
Mm-hmm.
In 63 parishes, we're fully in phase three. Here in New Orleans, we haven't gotten to fully phase three yet, although our tax sheet of a mayor is calling the phases that she has invented inside the phases, she's calling them 3.1. 3.2 is where we're at right now, and she's holding off on going to 3.3. Yet we haven't fully gotten to 3.0 yet here in Orleans Parish, here in New Orleans. We haven't fully gotten there yet where the other 63 parishes are.
Which is weird because, all right, at the beginning when we were in phase one, they would give us updates on the news all the time about how many people are hospitalized, how many people are dying. We're still going through these phases, and she's talking about extending phases, but we're not getting the numbers in the data why anymore. At first, they used to tell us why, like, look, this many people caught it. It went up this many percentage. These many people are hospitalized right now. Now they're just saying we're extending it because I don't see people wearing masks. Like, they're not even giving you the actual medical data to justify some of the things that they're doing. They're just telling us now, here's what we're doing. No explanation whatsoever.
Well, in the beginning, when they did all of this because they were afraid that our hospitals would be overrun.
And it hasn't happened.
Even though 99% of people who get coronavirus recover, and we know who the people are who are in trouble, it's the people, the elderly, the people who are already sick, people who are obese. Those are the people that have to watch out for dying from coronavirus. But for the city of New Orleans and the state of Louisiana. And they're doing what they did up in New York and other places because they don't want the hospitals to get overrun. I mean, it got to the point we talked about it. They opened up, they set up a hospital inside the Montreal Convention Center here in New Orleans. They spent millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars on that. Yet hardly anybody went in there to use it as a hospital. We hardly had any coronavirus patients go into the Montreal Convention Center.
But then when you see the amount of people that still go about their daily weekend activities like we did last weekend, people were still running around Bourbon Street. They just said screw the $500 threat that they got in the city of New Orleans. And then when you look at the state world, statewide, when you look at all the other parishes and how they're getting along as far as restaurants and bars and how they're socializing, the actual citizens don't seem to fear the virus as much. Yeah, you still have those who have to watch out. But for the most part, if you can get away with it, people have been living their normal lives. They still gather around bars. They still hang out at restaurants. They're still going on Bourbon Street. Yet the hospitals aren't being overrun. I don't even think that many people are even getting tested anymore because they're not afraid anymore. So I think at this point, it should be a logical assumption that whatever these phases are for, it isn't because of the health and safety concerns that they say it is. And nobody has told us why. Nobody's saying because this many people have died over the weekend or this many people have caught it or we've seen an uptick in this. Nobody is telling us why they're continuing the phases. They're just saying we're doing it because we haven't seen people wear masks.
And last week, New Orleans Mayor Letaxa Cantrell said she will find people. She will have the New Orleans police officers find people who aren't wearing masks in the city. I mean, even just someone by themselves walking down the street, not wearing a mask, could get fined up to $500. And she said, if you can't afford the fine to pay for the fine, then you could help clean up the city. I mean, this is where we're at. And now the governor yesterday is suing the state legislature to defend his coronavirus rules. This is where we're at. This is where we're at. Halloween is Saturday night, and tomorrow night we're looking at another hurricane to make landfall here in southern Louisiana.
Have you decided where you're going to be for Halloween?
Boy, oh boy, Coleman. This is where we're at right now, and a judge is going to have to hear this soon, but you've got the state legislature wanting to reopen the state. And now you've got the governor suing them, saying, no, boy, not a slow news day. And the way I look at it, what we've been saying for a few weeks, since they're making us wear masks everywhere we go in New Orleans, why not open up everything? Why not let people sit at bars? Why not let the bars reopen to 100% the way they normally open?
This texter says there hasn't been a huge spread of the virus because the rules are in place, which is a good thing. And I would tend to agree. However, I've seen so many people violate these rules almost. It's hard to keep up with these rules 24/7. When you go to Walmart, when you're just going about your daily activities at this point, nobody's really social distancing. Nobody's really keeping a mask on their face 100% of the time.
Well, maybe in Jefferson Parish that's the case. Mm-hmm. But Coleman, here in the city of New Orleans, you can't go into any building, any business, any restaurant, any place that's open. You cannot, they will not let you walk in unless you're wearing a mask.
You weren't on Bourbon Street over the weekend, were you?
Well, I saw people on Bourbon Street not wearing masks, but they weren't going into buildings. They weren't going into places.
But they were still socializing in the street. That's what I mean. They were drinking. They were having a good old time. So, I mean, I get it. The rules are in place. And for the most part, when you're conscious of it, yeah, you're following. But at this point, people are just, they're tired of it, and they're just living lives. They're not even concerned with it.
Text us if you want, 260-9595, your thoughts on all of this. Please keep the text short and sweet. Please do not text while you're driving. And if your text is good and it adds to our show, we'll read it coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. According to a new survey, 27% of Americans believe God influences sports. Of those, 81% believe God has forsaken the New York Jets.
on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And, you know, we mentioned this a week or so ago. Some Van Halen there from the great first album, Van Halen 1, which is in the conversation of the best debut rock album of all time. I mean, there's, you talk about not a bad song on Van Halen 1, and just perfectly done. We've mentioned this once before on the show, but when you think about the greatest debut rock albums, Van Halen 1 is in the conversation. It's right there with the Boston album, the debut album from the band Boston. And I would put Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction, the debut album from Guns N' Roses. I think those three albums may be the three greatest debut rock and roll albums ever. I mean, if you wanna text us and throw in what you think, I mean, obviously this is fun to talk about. It's subjective. But boy, those are three albums right there where there's not a bad song on any of those albums. They're perfectly produced, perfectly recorded. And last week we mentioned how after Eddie Van Halen died, there were like 15 Van Halen songs out of the top 20 songs that were being bought on different streaming places.
I wonder if you think Running with the Devil was one of them.
Oh yeah, that one, the one we just played. Yeah. Absolutely.
I always wondered this because, like, you've been around longer than me, so you're familiar, like, with the rock culture. What is it with rock and the devil? Yeah, Running with the Devil, Sympathy for the Devil, The Devil Went Down to Georgia, Shout Out the Devil. It seems like the devil is synonymous with rock. What's rock's infatuation?
Well, not
with
only
the
that,
devil?
But look at bands like Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
You know, Ozzy Osbourne.
Mm-hmm.
The devil has always been, I mean, think about what rock and roll is, Coleman. Rock and roll challenges everything.
Right.
Rock and roll, the definition of rock and roll, I mean, obviously the music, but the rock and roll attitude is just to challenge everything that has been put in front of us.
Okay, that makes
sense. And
what challenges
things more than the devil?
I see your point. That actually makes sense. It's pretty much saying it's challenging counterculture, in other words. Like, if there's a certain society standard, rock comes in and says, well, what about this, and challenges and has a different mind spec, a different perspective, and tries to get comfortable with the uncomfortable.
Absolutely. And so, but since Eddie Van Halen died, there were so many Van Halen songs, whether it was iTunes or wherever people buy their music these days, or people buy songs now, and they spend 99 cents or a dollar, they buy a song, and then they'll download it and they'll have it forever. I mean, and so many, that there were a lot, like I said, at least 15 Van Halen songs were in the top 20 or 30 of songs that were selling in the days and in the week or two after Eddie Van Halen died. And some are saying Eddie Van Halen dying may have saved rock and roll, at least in a way. That way, and I thought, it's the old cliche, nothing sells like a dead rock star. And we saw it there. And I just read something from Eddie's son, Wolfgang Van Halen, because he played bass in Van Halen, the band, for the last few years. But he's also a really talented guitarist. And some people are saying he may get Alex Van Halen and Sammy Hagar and Michael Anthony back together and go out on tour. And he plays guitar, Wolfgang Van Halen. He replaces his father. There were rumors going around, but he just sent a message out on Twitter the other day saying, please stop saying that. It's not true. You're hurting us and you're hurting my family right now. But wouldn't He's a very talented musician, young Wolfie Van Halen.
More people need to have cool names like that. Wolfgang. You don't hear the cool names like that anymore, man.
Well, it's because not everybody's father is Eddie Van Halen. Naming their kids that.
This text says, in the 60s, rock was associated with the devil by Bible thumpers who didn't want music to go in that general direction. And I remember hearing about that, saying that when rock and roll started to get mainstream, most Christians came back like, no, this is the devil's music. So I think those who those were in the rock genre just said, hey, you know what? Let's just roll with it then. We love the music. We know it's not necessarily evil, but if they say it, let's take it and embrace the label.
There are some people that do believe, Coleman, the devil is in that rock and roll.
This text says, how about you too, Joshua Tree? Do you think that's one of the greatest debut albums?
The problem is that's not their debut album.
Ah.
It's a great album, but it's not their debut album. We're talking first albums from rock bands. And I would say that that Van Halen and Boston and Guns N' Roses, in my opinion, those are the three greatest debut albums in rock. I mean, again, text us. 260-9595. It's a great discussion to have, and it's always fun to talk about.
When you have enough Ass Clown songs to compile into an album, what will you name the Ass Clown album?
Well, our band, the official band of the John Osterlin Show, we are called the Ass Clowns, but we do stupid song parodies.
Mm-hmm.
So
when you get 15 of those parodies and you do like a Weird Al Yankovic thing and make a parody album, what do you think the name of that album would be?
Oh, I haven't even.
Because you know the debut album, that's the one. You have all year to make. You have all your lifetime to make that one album. Then all the other albums, you know, you get big and.
Yeah, but those are original bands, Coleman. You're talking about. I'm doing song parodies. I'm putting lyrics over songs that people are the music that people already know. So. I don't know. I'd call it Ass Clownery.
There you go.
You know, right. Here's the Ass Clowns with Ass Clownery. Hey, I wanted to mention this real quick. You know, Tipitina's, one of the most legendary places to see live music here in the city of New Orleans. Tipitina's really got, much like every other business and so many people, they got crushed by the coronavirus. I mean, you can't go into bars to drink alcohol here in New Orleans yet, 7-8 months in, let alone go into bars to see live music. And that's what you do at Tipitina's. And not long before coronavirus hit, the great New Orleans band, Galactic, they bought Tipitina's. But they've been obviously struggling when you buy a business and then all of a sudden corona happens. And your business is Tipitina's live music and alcohol, can't do any of that. So what they're doing to try to keep everything together, to try to keep that place going, is they have Tipitina's TV. They had one season, and it was a success. This Saturday night, Halloween night, Tipitina's TV season 2 starts again. And what it is it's awesome. You, for very short money, you can have a bunch of concerts on your computer, on your big screen at home, plugged into your surround sound. And the band who owns Tipitina's, Galactic, they're kicking off Tipitina's live TV, and they're going to be doing a set. And there's a ton of great bands that are lined up for season 2. And like I said, it's really short money. It's like $60 or $80, and that's for the whole season. And there's band after band after band after band after band after band after band playing live. We've got all the information for you on our website. If you want to, you're doing two things. You're getting great entertainment for your own home, your own home computer, your own living room, and you're helping out a place that really needs it, Tipitina's. So if you want to take part and have all of this great entertainment in your living room or on your cell phone or on your whichever computer, on your laptop. Like I said, it's only a few bucks and you get tons of great live shows. You can go to our website to get all the information. It's Tipitina's TV Season 2 starts this weekend. Get some great live entertainment and help out Tipitina's. And for all the details, go to our website and check it out at Bayou957.com. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And I was just telling you about Tipitina's TV. It's really cool. I mean, the legendary Uptown New Orleans live music venue, Tipitina's, they're struggling like every other live music venue, like so many other businesses, because of coronavirus. And that's why they set up Tipitina's TV. Season 2 kicks off this Saturday night with the band Galactic, a fantastic band. And they own Tipitina's. That band bought Tipitina's last year. They bought the club. And they were doing really well. And then all of a sudden, coronavirus happened. And now nobody can go there to see live music and drink beer and drink booze and have a good time. So that's why they set up Tipitina's TV. And they're going to have six shows, one a week. And it starts this Saturday night with Galactic. And if you, I think it's fantastic because not only do you get great live music in your home, on your cell phone, you get these shows, but you're helping Tipitina's too. Each show is $15, but you could get all six shows for $60. And we have all the information on our website, Bayou957.com. And you can go to Tipitina's website as well, Tipitina's.com, if you want to take part in that. And I think it's great. And to be able to have these live shows, have them in your living room on your surround sound, and you can have these great live concerts right in your own home. And again, we have all the information on our website, Bayou957.com, or you can go to Tipitina's website, Tipitina's.com. And I recommend that. This is season two. They did season one, and I loved it. And now here we got six more bands, and you could have six nights of great live music. And on top of all of that, you're helping out Tipitina's, which could really use the hand. And so go do that if you are so inclined. So we are now, we just finished week seven of our Bayou 95.7 King of the Bayou Football Challenge. In the winner this week, this guy's from Metairie. Coleman, call him up. He picked 13 out of 14 winners.
Hi, you reached Alex. Sorry I missed your call, but please leave your name and your number, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible.
Hey, Alex. This is John Osterlund from Bayou 95.7. We just called to congratulate you for winning the King of the Bayou Football Challenge this week. You picked 13 out of 14 winners, and you won $50 to go buy groceries at Winn-Dixie. We just called to congratulate you, and thank you for being a part of it, and good luck for the rest of the season. Thanks, man. And if you haven't gotten involved in our King of the Bayou Football Challenge yet, what, you don't want to win $50 worth of free groceries from Winn-Dixie? I mean, we give that away every week to whoever picks the most winners, like Alex from Metairie, who we just got his voicemail. But he picked 13 out of 14 this week. But if you want to get involved and you're not involved, again, we have every week, all you got to do, no point spreads, just pick the football games. And then if you pick the most, you'll be like Alex, and you'll get a $50 gift card to go buy groceries at Winn-Dixie.
Next week is going to be pretty interesting because since we live in the New Orleans area, the majority of the people by a large margin always picks New Orleans. But this week against Chicago, only 56% have picked New Orleans. It's not that usual 80% like it usually is. So most people in the area feel like Chicago may win 48%. I think that's pretty interesting.
Well, Chicago's a good team. They only suffered their second loss of the season last night in Monday Night Football, and the Saints are playing them in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
They're on the road, so that's why you're seeing. And that's another thing that's so cool about our King of the Bayou Football Challenge. You could just go to our website, bayou957.com, click on the King of the Bayou Football Challenge. It's the picture of me dressed like Elvis. I know I look like a dork. But you could see the percentage of how many people are picking which team in each game.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. And like I said, if you haven't gotten involved yet, go do it. It only takes a second. It's free. It doesn't cost nothing. And if you pick the most winners this week, even though you haven't gotten involved yet, if you're just starting this week, if you pick the most winners, you get the $50 worth of free groceries for Winn-Dixie. That's the prize we give away every week. So go register when you get a second. And I'm looking right now at our Bayou crew. Coleman, you're beating everybody, and you're up by 4 picks.
Yeah. You're damn right.
You're not even the biggest football fan. Right now, Coleman is leading the Bayou crew. He's leading by 4 picks over Joshua Dausch, who does traffic on this show. He also has a weekend show here on Bayou. He's tied for second with our night guy, Stoneman, Stoney. And then I'm in third. I'm 1 pick behind them. So, Coleman, I'm 5 picks behind you. I'm tied for third with Cat.
Blah, 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 blah.
And then Ginty is in fourth place. And then coming in last is the boss, the big boss man out of not only Bayou, but all of our radio stations here in New Orleans. Kevin, the boss, he's struggling right now. It's still early in the season. There's still a long way to go. So anybody can win. But when it comes to the Bayou crew, Coleman, how are you up by 4 over Josh and Stoney, and you're up by 5 over me and Kat, and you're up by a lot more over Ginty and the boss?
I play by probabilities. What I do is I look at who's overdue for a loss and who's overdue for a win. I don't necessarily look at the stats of the team, like who's the better team. I look at, you know what, this team has been on a winning streak for about 6 or 7 games. They're probably going to lose this week. Or, man, this team has been losing so many times. They have to have one. So it's all about picking which team, because this game is all about upsets. Because if everybody picked all the exact same teams who they felt like was going to win, everybody would be tied. So the key to the game is picking which game is going to be the upset, which one has the majority of the people believe are going to win. Well, I'm going to pick against that team because I believe this week they may pull off an upset, see? So I think about probabilities and upsets, not necessarily who's going to win.
And, I mean, I'm a big football fan, and I think I'm more of a football fan than you. And mm-hmm. the fact that you're 5 picks ahead of me right now after 7 weeks – bothers me. You didn't pick Atlanta 2 days ago.
No, I didn't. I don't see myself picking Atlanta for the remainder.
I picked Atlanta 2 days ago, and if Todd Gurley could have fallen down before he scored the game-losing touchdown, the first time I've ever seen a team score a game-losing touchdown, the Atlanta Falcons did that. But if Todd Gurley could have fallen down on the 1 yard line, then they could have let the clock run down to 3 seconds, kick the field goal, and win the game. But instead, Gurley scores the game-losing touchdown with 1 minute to go. That left Detroit enough time to go down the field and score a game-winning touchdown.
But that goes to show you that anything can happen. For instance,
like true.
The guy who's been leading the whole thing is SS Minnow. He's right now at 77. But the gap between him and everyone else under him is closing. Now he's only 1 ahead of everybody else. A couple of weeks ago, he was 2 ahead, 3 ahead. But now, like, people are catching up to him. So at any point, this can fluctuate. Like, right now, I'm ahead by 4, but by week 9 or week 10, I might be at the bottom with the boss.
And boy, I'm looking at this now. A few people picked 13 out of 14 winners last week.
It's getting closer.
But the winner for the people that have been in it from week 1, the winner, whoever picks the most winning games for the entire season wins the 65-inch smart television, also the autographed Cam Jordan Saints jersey. But like I said, if you haven't gotten in yet, We still give away weekly prizes every week, the $50 gift card for Winn-Dixie. So when you get a second, go and register and be a part of our King of the Bayou Football Challenge at Bayou957.com. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Wild story out of a small town in Wisconsin. In Stevens Point, Wisconsin, two men were arrested for manufacturing meth at a motel. The motel's manager became suspicious and called the police after the men's room exploded. Hey, coming up next on the show, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. And this has two things that are involved in this that you don't want to miss. The state of Florida and garbage. Wait till you hear what happened. That's next on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And it's that time where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Florida man in garbage bag suit sets fire to garbage trucks. A man covered in black garbage bags, a garbage bag suit, set fire to several fire trucks at a Florida waste management business, causing millions of dollars worth of damage.
Cha-ching.
Each one of these trucks he destroyed, Coleman, is worth in between $300,000 and $400,000. The suspect was wearing a garbage bag type suit. So he was just dressed in garbage bags. And he had goggles on. He broke into the Pompano Beach Waste Pro facility by setting fire to the front gate at 2:15 in the morning, the other morning, according to the Broward County, Florida Sheriff's deputies. Surveillance footage shows the filthy firebug setting several garbage trucks on fire on the property. He can then be seen opening a door to the business and placing a clear bottle of liquid on the ground before lighting that, causing the entire building to catch fire. The trash-suited arsonist then fled in a black sedan. That fire destroyed at least 10. These are high-tech garbage trucks as well.
Yeah, you need those in Florida.
That valued at more than $3 million.
When you first told me about the trash, he was dressed in a trash bag. I assumed that he had to wear a trash bag disguise to blend in with the background. That way he could sneak in. Like he put the trash bag on and then he hopped into like a back of a garbage truck and let the garbage truck roll in. And then like nobody knew he was like a piece of a guy in a trash bag and it just dumped him in the trash like everybody else. And then he like emerged from the pile of rubble in trash bags. But you mean he was in a trash bag before he even got to the premises?
He showed up there dressed like that.
So you, okay.
The regional vice president of that company, Waste Pro, said, quote, "We are saddened that such an irresponsible act could occur. Our drivers consider these $300,000 to $380,000 high-technology trucks as their office and are proud to drive them." Some guy dressed in garbage bags went to a big garbage facility in Broward County, Florida, and he lit 10 of these high-tech garbage trucks on fire and destroyed all of them. He caused more than $3 million worth of damage. Who would have a problem with garbage trucks?
I would say a disgruntled employee. Here's why. Because you just said that the manager of this whole operation thought that the drivers who drive these garbage trucks consider these garbage trucks their office. Now imagine having that kind of mentality where you think that a garbage truck is considered your office.
It's a high-tech garbage
truck,
Coleman. It's a high-tech,
but it's still a garbage truck nonetheless. You know, somebody told me, yeah, my employees, see these garbage trucks, these things that's hauled, that they use to haul and take out trash? This is their office. This is their personal space. It's their cubicle. I think I'd be kind of bummed out, like, whoa, you think I like this job? I'm just doing it for the money. Who wants to pick up trash?
But we need garbage
trucks. We do. I'm not saying
Could you imagine if suddenly everybody woke up tomorrow morning and there were no garbage trucks in the United States? Do you know what would happen? I've always been fascinated by garbage. Mm-hmm. Do you know what would happen if garbage starts piling up and we can't get rid of it?
I think we've seen that a couple of times whenever there was some contract disputes in our local government, right?
They don't last very long.
No, they don't.
Because people can't deal with the trash just piling up like that. So this guy, it's sad that he would do this, but I don't understand who has a vendetta against garbage trucks.
And then he dressed up as a trash bag, so it's clearly garbage related.
And it happened in Florida, of course. A Florida man dresses in a garbage bag suit to light a bunch of garbage trucks on fire that caused over $3 million worth of damage. This is by far the dumbest thing that I read all morning.
I'm sorry, I missed the cue. Here we go. Dum, da, dum, 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 dum.
I hope I have a follow-up on this story because I want to find out. I think you might be right, Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
I think you might be right. He may have been a former employee, because who else in God's name in there is gonna destroy all kinds of fire trucks like this?
By fire, too. There's the garbage trucks. Garbage trucks by fire.
Yeah, he's gonna. Now he's got me my head spinning. The guy destroyed all these garbage trucks. We would be lost without garbage trucks in this country. Be covered in garbage. Anyways, I hope to bring you a follow-up on this story to find out who did this, if they could figure out who that person is dressed in the garbage bag suit, here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. So we are expecting Hurricane Zeta at some point tomorrow night, Wednesday night. And again, a lot could change between now and then, exactly where it's going to land. But for all the latest, make sure you pay attention, and you can do so by checking out our sister station, WWL Radio as well, for the latest on Hurricane Zeta. Hopefully in this seventh cone of uncertainty we find ourselves in this hurricane season. Can you believe that? Seven cones of uncertainty? Hopefully here in the New Orleans area, we'll catch the breaks that we caught earlier. Or this one might be one that we have to really pay attention to. So again, our sister station, WWL Radio, will keep you all caught up on that. It's our commercial free ride right now. We're in it right now. Crank it up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity? Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media? Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.